Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Two down and one to go. We've been talking about the last two verses of Malachi and the elements that are necessary for the recovery of a spiritually declining society. Spiritual decline describes the society of Malachi's day. Spiritual decline describes the Jewish society of Christ's day, of John the Baptist's day, that first century. And spiritual decline describes the United States of America today. So there are a lot of parallels and applications which can apply in various directions. I have also said that there are two primary requirements for the restoration of a wayward society. They are, number one, to receive the messengers that God sends, and number two, to reform the institutions that God designed. Receive the messengers that God sends, whether it's Malachi, whether it's John the Baptist, whether it's Jesus Christ, the ultimate messenger of God, whether it is the writers of the books of our Bible, whether it is faithful Bible teachers and pastors who are truly expounding accurately and faithfully the Word which God has given, studying it to understand it and to explain it accurately, faithfully, competently to others. And those who do that need to be received. If they are rejected, if they are shunted aside in preference for teachers who will tickle your ears, the Bible talks about those, then there's not much hope for recovery in society. That's why I don't see a lot of encouragement in America today. Because it seems to me that the majority of Christians are turning their backs upon faithful expounders of Scripture and are seeking out instead those who will entertain them and will not disturb them, will not challenge them, will not convict them of sin, but will instead simply give them soothing platitudes that make them feel good about themselves and about their very superficial Christian behavior and Christian profession. If we're going to see a restoration of America to spiritual strength and health again, there's going to have to be a turning to faithful messengers and receiving the truth which they bring. But we need to pause and welcome you to this Friday, April 17 edition of the Beacon Broadcast and remind you of our need of your financial help in order to continue teaching God's Word on the station. And so the first element is to receive the messengers that God sends. The second element is to reform the institutions that God designs, that God has established, the home, the church, government operating the way that God intends for it to operate, business relationships and employer-employee relationships operating the way that God designed them and God gives instructions for them in His Word. When those things are reformed along biblical lines, that will bring great renewal, great recovery to a declining society. But there's yet a third thing, and that is to remember the warnings that God declares. Remember the messengers. Remember and receive. Receive the messengers that God sends. Reform the institutions that God designs or has designed. And remember the warnings that God declares. The verses in view in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, read as follows. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Those are the last words of the Old Testament. The last words of the book of Malachi, the last words of the Old Testament. Those are the last words that God spoke for more than 400 years. The last words that should have been ringing in the ears of the Jewish people in Malachi's day and ought to be ringing in our ears today. What a somber ending of this book, and indeed of the Old Testament. Now, there are a few other books in the Old Testament that have a similarly somber ending. Isaiah 66:24, Lamentations 5:22, Ecclesiastes 12:14. But this one is particularly somber because it is the last one. I read that Jews, when they read or quote these scriptures in their synagogues, which they do, they will repeat verse 4 following verse 6, because it's so, what should I say, it is so unsettling to end everything with words like this. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Silence, nothing more. And so, Jews in their synagogue will go back to verse 4 and add, remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. A fitting statement at the end. But it doesn't take away from this warning. And this warning, of course, is a specific warning for Israel. The word earth here is the same word that is translated land, for example, in chapter 3, verse 12. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land. Same word, says the Lord of hosts. So, when it says, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse, it could be saying, lest I come and strike the land. That has special significance to a Jewish audience. But this warning is not new. It's not unprecedented. There have been previous warnings that sound very much like this. Read the warnings in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 15, and others in that vicinity. And what this indicates is that when Elijah comes, he may not succeed completely. There may be partial improvement without thorough reformation. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth or the land with a curse. And if you'll think through what happened when John the Baptist came, you will see that this is exactly the case. He did lead a revival. He made an impact. His ministry did inaugurate some reformation, some very, very needed reformation in Jewish society. And it did, in that regard, prepare for the coming of Jesus Christ. But it was not a total reformation because, as we know, not everybody received John. Not everybody received the one that John prepared for, Jesus the Christ. In fact, so vehemently was he rejected that he was crucified by the Jews. You say, no, it was by the Romans. Well, the Jews pressured Rome to do it for them, but we know who was behind it. It was the Jews. So John's ministry didn't have a complete reformation. Christ's ministry did not result in complete reformation. And this is a warning in itself, namely that we should not be easily satisfied with halfway measures. Sometimes we get all excited if we have a good meeting in our church, often called a revival meeting, revival services, or maybe outside our church, a combined meeting, a tent meeting, or something like that. We had an extended meeting of that kind in Alamance County 2 or 3 years ago now. I've lost track exactly. Oh, there was a lot of excitement, a lot of conversation. I was stopped in the store, in one of the larger stores in Burlington, by people who attended the meeting, were all excited about it, asked me if I had been yet, and was I going, and the answer is no, I haven't been yet, and no, I'm not going, and they couldn't understand why. They were so excited about what was happening. And it went on and on and on and on for, I don't know, a couple of months, I suppose, which is unusual in our day and time. Big tent meeting, hundreds of people attending, going on night after night after night, week after week after week. Much excitement, many decisions recorded, many people who responded to the message by walking forward and so forth. But when it was over, it was hard to detect any significant impact upon our county, that there was any real spiritual reformation. And when they tried to repeat it the next summer, it had been so successful the summer before, they tried to repeat it the next year, just 1 year later, and it bombed out. It didn't draw the crowds. It clearly was a passing phenomena that really didn't even hold the interest of the people who had attended it 1 year before. What does that say about the substance of what was taking place? It appears that it was a big to-do about nothing, basically. And that's what I'm saying. We're too easily satisfied by halfway measures. We have something encouraging that goes on in our church, and we act like the millennium has come. I don't know, that's probably stretching it a bit, but we act like, wow, things have really, really, really done a turnaround. Well, when there really is a heaven-sent revival, when there really is God-empowered reformation, it will make some lasting changes in society. And when it does not, here's the point, and here's the warning. We're talking about remembering the warnings declared by God. When there is not heart response to the messengers of God, when there's failure to heed God's warnings, then what follows is divine judgment, which is true for individuals as well as for nations. So, that's the way the book of Malachi ends. It ends with a warning. We need to heed the warnings declared by God. We need to take them seriously. If we do, it will do us spiritual good. If we ignore them, it means spiritual peril. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.